At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more. Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills. Accelerate your team's impact and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Welcome to part two of our interview with Rosemary Ellen Guiley about her paranormal life, her research and findings on many areas of the other side. What were some of the terrifying events that drove people from the house when it was back in that in their possession?
Some of the people would never... This was evidence that was collected by Carl, not by me, so I'm reporting it secondhand. Mm-hmm. That they would not describe exactly what happened to them. It seemed to be too terrifying. There were apparently apparitions, I'm guessing, from some of the semi-descriptions that people saw on stairs or that came into the room. People have different thresholds for what they can accommodate from the paranormal. And sometimes what just might sort of rattle one person will absolutely terrify another person. So it's hard to gauge exactly what those things might have been. That's about all I can tell you in that regard. And in the film that Carl did on it, it was left open-ended like that as well.
Okay. Let's talk about haunted objects. As I know, another thing that you're very well versed in. I know you've done some work with John Zaffis on that. Let's just kind of open up that topic. I mean, obviously, that's a very common one that we hear about. It's one that I think has almost driven my wife to not want to go antiquing anymore after having a lifelong love of it. But then after hosting or co-hosting a ghost show with me for the last 5 years, it's kind of changed her opinion a little bit. When it comes to haunted objects, it's obviously it's not every antique out there. It doesn't even have to be an antique. How does something become attached to an object? Let's start there.
There are a lot of different circumstances that could govern that. And you're quite right, Tony, that not everything old necessarily has to have a spirit of attachment. You know, my house is loaded with antiques and objects that I've gotten from estate sales and shops. And, you know, most of the time you're never going to have a problem. There are different things that can attach to objects, and one is emotional residue from previous owners. And the more we own something, handle it, the more attention we give it, our energy goes into that object. And if someone, say, for example, had a favorite piece of jewelry, or favorite piece of clothing, a personal item, and something negative happened to them. It's usually negative energy that carries and not happy energy. We don't very often find attached objects that are happy and bubbly. It's usually the lower energy that is able to linger. So if someone was depressed or angry or had tragedy in their life, these sorts of emotions can, in some cases, not in every case, become transferred to an object. And that energy lies dormant and can be activated under specific circumstances. Somebody could buy that object, nothing would ever happen. Another person buys that object, and for whatever reason, the pot is stirred and those negative psychic residue aspects start coming alive, and they affect then the new owner. We've had cases of people taking on the personalities of the individuals who seem to be the previous owners or being just affected in some way by emotions. We've had people have flashbacks to the lives of previous owners that occur in dreams and even waking visions. Sometimes phenomena will break out in a person's house, poltergeist effects associated with haunting sorts of activity. Another kind of attachment can come through spirit attachment. Well, we attract spirits throughout our lives, and spirits can lodge in objects. They become attached to a person. They can lodge in an object and remain with that object even after the person passes on. And then the same sort of thing can happen. Sometimes negative spirits are attracted to an individual, and that might depend upon things that happen to them in their lives, the emotional states that they're in. In a minority of cases, it might be because they've done the wrong kind of spirit summoning, and then they weren't able to get rid of something, in which case a negative spirit will begin to act out in a new environment. And then we have the cases of cursed objects where a jealous or angry person is looking for revenge, and they are either capable of doing it themselves or they go to someone who does it for them, putting a curse on an object and then passing it to the other person, and all havoc breaks loose. So those are a few of the scenarios that can be at work in a haunted object.
Is there ever the case, and I'm sure there is, but do you have any cases, I should say, that you've investigated where someone gave someone an object knowing that there was something attached to it, almost in malice, you know, maybe not necessarily telling them, hey, by the way, what I'm giving you has this to it, but knowing that if I pass this over to this person, you know, ill will is coming attached with it.
Yes, unfortunately, that happens. And those are usually cases of grudges, desire for revenge. Quite often they revolve around love betrayals, love triangles, or somebody trying to break up a marriage. And it is very deliberate. And that's precisely what they hope will happen, is that whatever is attached to the object will ruin someone's life or break up a relationship. And that's how they will get their revenge.
Does anyone, or is there any way for someone to protect themselves from something like that happening if they're completely unaware that this had happened to them, that someone had given them an object like this? Or is anyone susceptible to that?
Well, people vary in their vulnerabilities. And I would imagine that there are plenty of cursed objects passed around that have zero effect because the curse is weak, or the intended victim is not affected by it. And I think if every intended ill wish, ill will, or curse had an effect, well, the world would be a very different place, because human beings walk around in an angry state of mind a lot,
sure,
unfortunately. So the best thing that people can do to protect themselves against any sort of negative influence is to be in good health, to be balanced, to have a spiritual life and a spiritual practice, because that will strengthen the aura and the envelope of energy that we have around us, and simply repel a lot of stuff without us even being aware that it's out there. If a person has reason to believe that they've been the victim of a cursed object, what they should do is get rid of the object. And then depending upon what's happening to them, they might want to consult an energy practitioner to have their energy field worked on, or to see if any attachments have formed in their aura. In the worst possible cases, and John and I have several of them in the two books that we've done together, we've recommended house exorcisms and even personal exorcisms, depending upon how badly a place or someone has been affected.
Is there an appropriate way to get rid of an object that one believes has some sort of attachment to it?
Yes, there are a number of ways. The first thing you want to do is get it out of your living environment by placing it outside, even putting it in a garage or a storage unit until you can deal with it. As long as it's out of your living environment, that will often bring, in most cases, a cessation of negative activity. Depending upon what it is that's attached to an object, if it's a powerful negative spirit, then the object needs to be treated with a binding and prayers so that either the spirit cannot get loose to wreak more havoc, or sometimes the spirit is exorcised from the object and sent on. The object can be wrapped and buried or weighted and thrown into deep running water. We usually don't recommend burning because sometimes that will cause an attached spirit to jump from the object to whatever it can attach to in the immediate environment. Those are some of the common ways of dealing with them. Sometimes people just get rid of them. They throw them out. Whatever happens to them happens to them. Sometimes they repatriate the object. They take it back.
Mm-hmm. When quite often what we hear when people are telling their story of, we think the activity began here as a starting point, it starts quite often with, we got out the Ouija board or the spirit board of some sort, and then things started to happen. I know you had been part of a book about the Zozo connection, which ties into that that use. Obviously, that's not what happens every single time someone uses a spirit board. But can you touch on the Zozo connection a little bit and what that means and what that's all about?
Well, I've done actually two books on spirit summoning with boards, and one is called Ouija Gone Wild, and I did that with Rick Fisher. And then with Darren Evans, I did the Zozo phenomenon. And my take on talking boards has always been, and still is, that they are neutral devices. There's really nothing inherent about them that's going to invite the devil into your life. Mm-hmm. They are not welcome mats for Satan. Despite what misinformed paranormal investigators and demonologists have to say about them, how Hollywood portrays them, they are neutral devices, and they always have been, just like any other psychic tool. So it's, how is this thing being used? And unfortunately for the Ouija board or talking boards in general, they are widely available. They are misused all the time as devices for entertainment. That's originally what they were made for, was entertainment. They were made to amuse people in their homes, to contact the spirit world without having to go to a seance or a medium. And people have had negative experiences with them. People can have negative experiences with any kind of psychic tool. It doesn't matter what you use. I've had people report bad experiences from automatic writing. So the Ouija board gets a very unfair rap in that regard because a lot of attention has been focused on it. It's widely available, used by millions of people. Some people have bad experiences. They probably would have bad experiences if they used a pendulum. People use them for entertainment. Kids went thrill seeking. They actually want a demon to show up. They're engaged in a party atmosphere while they're using these things. And some people don't realize that, you are opening the door to the spirit world. Users are often inexperienced in dealing with the spirit world, and some of them may not know that they might be trigger people. They might have some sort of open doorway in their own consciousness that hasn't been developed, and the board will help open that up, and they may not have what I would call the safeguards in place from a better development process that would prevent something from affecting them. People are influenced by Hollywood films. And sometimes after using a board, they begin to worry that they did the wrong thing. Some murderer a la witch board is going to jump out at them or torment them. And, so they get carried away in a paranoid fantasy. There are very real experiences of entities creating issues. If that is the case, it tends to be some low-level trickster or malicious kind of entity that finds this doorway and uses it as a way to play around with people or pester people. And so it really runs the gamut. We can't really characterize the talking board as any one thing because of that. I've never had any serious issues with the Ouija board. I don't use one very often. I've had negative entities show up on the board, and I've told them to go away and shut the board down, and that's been the end of it. Other people don't seem to have those kinds of boundaries. If you have weak boundary issues, you shouldn't be using any kind of spirit summoning device. So those are some of the characteristics of board activity. Mm-hmm. Films like The Exorcist and Witch Board and 13 Ghosts, they've all exaggerated the Ouija board as a problem device, that if you use it, you're going to have negative issues with the dark side, and that is simply not true.
How would you classify what is known as like the Zozo phenomenon, though? What exactly does that mean?
Well, Zozo seems to be one of these low-level entities that has made a habit of coming through on the Ouija board. Mm-hmm. Particularly to young people. I would say most of the people that Darren and I have heard from with Zozo problems have been young people, and who are more likely to misuse a board and who are psychologically not prepared to deal with the spirit world anyway.
Sure.
And so Zozo identifies itself by that name and variations of Zozo, like Zo, Oz, Ozo, Zaza, and even goes by Lily and Mama and a couple of other personifications. And the typical pattern of that is with any kind of negative entity that shows up, it usually starts out in a more positive way. Something answers the Ouija board and might even identify itself by some other name. And it seems to be friendly, might even give accurate information to questions, thus encouraging more activity, more engagement, more trust, more openness. And then there's a turning point where this entity starts to get more jeering, hostile, threatening, manipulative, might make threats like, if you don't do this, then, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to kill you. And psychological terror ensues, especially if there are any indications that those sorts of things could be possible. And Darren Evans, my co-author in the Zozo phenomenon, had some experiences with Zozo himself, and that's what launched his research. Zozo is not necessarily a recent phenomenon. I think that these entities go back through time. They just change their names and some characteristics of their modus operandi. But Zozo is a very real phenomenon and is certainly something for people to be aware of. If you're going to use a talking board, have some common sense about it. It's not a thrill-seeking device, a party device. And if you are inexperienced in dealing with the spirit world, then you need to take some extra precautions.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. A big thank you to her for joining us on the program today. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.